All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Happy Monday, hockey fans. Welcome into a fresh week of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, where we are looking for your inbox questions for later on in the show. Drop them in with the hashtag AskDFO. The show, as always, is brought to you by Betano 19+. Please play responsibly. The game starts now at betano.ca. Tyler Rumchuk and Frank Saravalli with you. Frank, you're back here on a Monday. How's it going?
I'm good. This is a dangerous show for all people watching. I'm not feeling so great. Tyler had the weekend with the stomach virus. Now, look, as a function of weight loss, I would accept a 3-week stomach virus. But yeah, it's not feeling so great at the moment. So if we have any quote unquote hiccups today, you'll understand why.
Yeah, if one of our two boxes here just quickly disappears, I don't know, maybe we'll have to pull in John Goyens early to get to his segment. But we're fighting the good fight today, Frank. Yeah, call him up out of the bullpen. So then, you know, let's not waste any time. Let's not push our luck. Let's get into today's show. Like I said, John Goyens is going to join us in a bit. We're going to talk about the Colorado Avalanche with him. But first, Frank, I mean, the Avs, they're a lock for the playoffs. A few teams over the weekend maybe had their playoff hopes fully disappear. We'll start out west with the Minnesota Wild. They suffer an overtime loss to the Blues, so they still go pick up a point, but Vegas since Thursday has won back-to-back games, and there's now a 6-point gap between the Golden Knights and the Wild. Are you willing to say that losing that game in OT was the final nail in the coffin for the Wild, or with two head-to-head games remaining between them and the Golden Knights, do you still give them a sliver of hope?
No, I think that gap is only going to widen, because the Wild don't play again this week until Thursday. And that part, I think, is certainly damaging. The two games head-to-head will be enormous. But even probably just one of those games going to the direction of the Golden Knights would probably crush their playoff hopes in Minnesota. I think you have to squint real hard to see a chance for Minnie. I mean, it's been an incredible up-and-down season. You know, they had to fire their coach. They played well for a stretch and period of time where it looked like they were going to be able to get it together. Then they were crippled by injuries for a stretch. It's not just, you know, seven players out of your lineup. It was seven of your best players. And since then, getting everyone back, they've, for the most part, have played pretty well, but they don't reward you playoff spots for playing 60 games well. You've got to play all 82.
Yeah, and you look at their last 10 games, they've picked up points in 9 of those last 10. They're 6-1-3, so it's not even really so much a product of how poorly they're playing. Like, they're playing decent hockey as of late, but it's just that time of year where you sort of eventually run out of time, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I think the same could be said for a team out east in a similar spot in the New Jersey Devils, who they've won three of their last four. They got a big win over the New York Islanders, Frank, but you sit there and look, they're 5 points back of the Capitals, and the Capitals have two games in hand on them. They're 7 points back of the Philadelphia Flyers if they wanted to try go that way. And with only 10 games remaining for each of those teams, building up a 7-point gap is damn near impossible in today's NHL. If we're saying the Wild are likely cooked, are we saying the Devils are in the same spot as well?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you could probably take it a step further and say that the Islanders are. Because if you're saying that the Devils are out, then you're probably lumping the Islanders into the same category. And, you know, I just mathematically, is it possible for both these teams? Yes. Are they talented? Could they get there? Do the Islanders have the goaltending to be able to go on a run that saves their season? Yeah, they could. There's not really much evidence for me to point to say, yes, there is a chance. And I think the picture becomes a bit clearer if you're able to write those two teams off. I kind of see it as the last two, you know, it's basically three teams for two spots between the Caps, the Wings, and the Flyers.
Yeah, I think that's probably how it's breaking down. That leads nicely into our next topic. The team that's in the driver's seat in that Eastern Conference playoff push is the Washington Capitals. They're 1 point clear of the Red Wings. They have that game in hand as well. And a big reason why they've been able to rattle off a whole bunch of wins. They're 7-3-0 in their last 10. They've won back-to-back games because of what Alexander Ovechkin has been doing. Frank, 8 goals in his last 5 games. It seems like, or it was just a couple of months ago, we were all like, whoa, this isn't the same old Alexander Ovechkin that we've gotten in years past. And sure enough, we probably should have known, I should say, that an Ovi heater was coming, and it came at a damn good time for the Washington Capitals. They're looking like they're primed to grab that last spot.
There's something weird about this season for Ovechkin, and I don't know what's happened to be able to get to that point. Like, if you look at Ovechkin since the All-Star break, I mean, it's night and day different. And I'd be fascinated to know what transpired during the break. Like, we know that he went to Dubai because he posted it on his Instagram. So, again, I'm not casting any dispersions or shade on his trip to Dubai. I'm just wondering, like, how does a player have 8 goals prior to that and 18 since? And we're only at March 25th. He's got 17 goals in 23 games. I mean, he's also north of a point per game in that stretch, 27 points in 23 games. Shooting percentage is obviously way up. It's at 20% compared to the beginning of the year. But when I watched his games to start, it wasn't that he wasn't getting shots or that they weren't of quality by his definition. It's also that he couldn't move to get to those positions to get open looks. So something has completely changed. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but it's night and day different. And I'd love to know what to chalk it up to.
Yeah, I talked to Steven Wino a couple of weeks ago about this, and he mentioned the trip to Dubai to see his family. He's now got family back with him in Washington, which he didn't have in the first half of the year. I know Jeremiah, one of our regulars and a Caps fan in our YouTube chat, he's been pointing out that there was an issue with his sticks that he likes getting made with CCM, and that he's finally getting back to a stick he likes. So it could be a whole bunch of different reasons for Alexander Ovechkin. But regardless, for Caps fans, they're sitting in a good spot right now as we continue along, and they're a couple of points clear of the Detroit Red Wings. Frank, just quickly before we move on, is it fair to say that no team regrets their deadline decision more than the Wings? Like, they didn't add at all. And with the margin being so slim between them and the Caps, I feel like if they would have gone out and made one aggressive move, it might be worth a couple more points. They might be right there with Washington.
No, because the Caps also sold pieces off. So fair. If you're sitting there in Steve Yzerman's chair, the teams around you, for the most part, didn't load up or buy. Some sold off. And I think, too, more important than anything, this team has been mercurial all season long. If you're the Wings, if you watch that team in the month of December, why would you think that they deserve to add? And I think if you're continuing to build, you're not trading away future assets to try and be the eighth seed. You're trying to trade away future assets later on to try and go from being, you know, a two or a one seed to a authentic Stanley Cup contender. So keep your powder dry. I think it makes perfect sense what Detroit did. As much as they want to break their playoff drought, you know, they could probably do it with or without any help. And there's no reason to mortgage any of the future for right now.
A pair of players hit the 50-goal mark for the first time in their careers over the weekend. Frank Sam Reinhart and Zach Hyman both hit it on the same night on Sunday. And it's interesting to compare these two guys. They've both found their spots next to a pair of elite centermen in the league. They've both racked up, and I mean, in the case of Hyman, it's especially true, way more goals than assists this season. But these two guys, to kind of come out of nowhere and each hit the 50-goal mark, I guess we can start with Reinhart. To do it in a contract year, I mean, no better time personally for it to come. But this is a guy who, I mean, after the way his career kind of started in Buffalo, it was up and down. It's great to see him hit this level.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the bigger surprise is Zach Hyman getting to this level. When you see Sam Reinhart consistently at 31, 30, 33 goals in a season, yeah, it's enormous to take that leap from that level up to the 50-goal plateau. But clearly, this is already a really talented goal scorer. When you look at Hyman, his previous career high was 36. And then for the most part, he had been in the 20s prior to that in his career. And so two enormous leaps. And I think what the thread is that ties these two guys together is their ability to score from right around the net. If you go to NHL Edge and you look up the locations that these two guys have scored their goals, they're both feasting right in the high danger area. And specifically, it feels at times like inches away from the crease. And I saw someone earlier today, you know, sort of making fun of Hyman on social media. They had a thread of all of his goals of the season and video, and they were calling them ethical or unethical. And I'm as if like there's you know, something attached to these goals that makes some of them bad or good. Last time I checked, they all count the same. But the point being that, oh, Zach Hyman is just some sort of tap-in artist. And I think that's a huge disservice to Hyman. For one, it's not just a willingness to get to the net. It's also an ability to arrive on time. And it's not like he's some physical beast that's going to be, you know, mauling down or mowing down players in order to get to the puck. There's a finesse and ability that is involved in scoring goals from that area. And I think he does such a good job, both of them do, of making what they've done this season highly repeatable. Now, I'm not predicting that either one of them will be 50 goal scorers again, but I don't see any reason why both of them can't consistently be in the 40s to mid 40s year in and year out based on their ability to play right in front of the net. So they've got that locked down. Hyman's got 41 of his 50 goals scored from right there. You've got, you know, a little bit of a variance in Reinhart, 33, I think it is, that are scored right in that high danger area. He's got a couple from additional distance, but they've found the recipe for success in the NHL.
Yeah, they have. And I saw that stuff about Hyman too, and a lot of people being like, oh, well, if he didn't play with McDavid, he wouldn't be scoring 50 goals. And here's what I'll say about that. If the Oilers were paying him $9 million, like most other 50 goal scorers get, then maybe I could understand, like, hey, yeah, he doesn't drive play all that well, sure, and you're paying him all this money. He gets paid to be a complimentary piece on this Oilers team, and that's exactly what he does. He is meant to be McDavid's right hand guy, and all he does is go to the net and play a style of game. Like, I've used the line, he is like, if you could go to a lab and create a perfect line mate for Connor McDavid, he is exactly that. So 50 goals, I mean, all 50 of them could be tap-ins. When you're paying $5.5 million for the guy, that's an incredible value.
Not only that, but and I don't know if there is any like tongue-in-cheek play with this person who created this video that called them ethical or unethical. If there isn't, that person is an absolute jerk-off. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah, 100%. We're running a little behind, so let's keep going with the milestone talk. A couple of players. Hey, Connor McDavid is one of them, chasing a big milestone, Frank. He is 9 assists away from 100. He would be just the fourth player in NHL history to hit that mark. And I mean, look at that little run in the last 10 games. 17 assists in his last 10. It's a lock he's going to get this thing, right? Like, there's too many games left for him to not get 9 more assists.
Stone cold mortal lock. So McDavid, fourth ever to 100 assists. And it is really impressive. And I love the way that he's sort of handled for a guy that scored 64 last year to only be at 26 to handle, I don't know if you'd call it disappointment, but whatever might come with that and the humility that he's shown, like, no, I'm not trying to score. I'm only going to pass. Like, he's handled it really well. And I'm sure part of that, there is a lot of frustration there. What if McDavid was even able to get to 50 goals this year? What are we looking at in terms of a point total? An incredibly impressive year nonetheless, and probably not going to win the scoring race, probably not going to win the Hart, but anytime you're putting up triple digits in any singular category, that's worthy of attention.
Yes, 6 back of Nikita Kucherov, but the Oilers do have 2 extra games to play between now and the end of the year. Don't forget about Nathan MacKinnon, though. He is right in the middle of that Art Ross race as well with 122 points, and he's chasing a pretty cool milestone of himself. I mentioned Connor McDavid looking to become the fourth player to get 100 assists in the season. Nathan MacKinnon looking to become the second player to ever get a point in every home game. This one maybe not as much of a lock as Connor McDavid. He's got 7 more home games where he has to register a point in every one of them. But what makes this one, this chase for another record, so impressive, you can't have an off night. This is like a perfect game in baseball.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think this is one of the most incredible records in the sport. Of the 58 that Wayne Gretzky still holds, the fact that in 1988-89, he played 40 home games and had at least 1 point in all 40 of them is insane. Now, MacKinnon, of course, has the ability to get to 41. It would, in my eyes, just a tie of that record, because you can only score in as many home games as you have. But when I look at this Avs team that is an absolute wagon on home ice, and you see it, you know, again on Sunday afternoon against the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Pens probably as frustrating a game as you could have, maybe some of their best hockey all season long in that first half of the game, followed by getting absolutely mauled by the Avs, especially in the last 20, down 4-0, come back, win 5-4 in OT. Jonathan Drouin, by the way, 2 goals, a John Goyan's protege, and we'll get to him in a second with the coach's room. But you look at MacKinnon and you're thinking, down 4-0, is this potentially where the streak ends? Could they get shut out on home ice? They're 28-6 at Ball Arena this year. The Canucks are pretty good at 24-7-4. But if you're talking pure home ice advantage at altitude, I don't know if there's a better one than what the Avs have cooking right now. And they actually look and feel like a different team when they're on home ice. Their confidence is at another level. I think McKinnon gets there. He's got 7 games to go, but definitely not nearly as much of a lock as the McDavid milestone.
9 wins in a row for the Colorado Avalanche. Let's continue that conversation and get to the coach's room with John Goyens. The coach's room is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and 0 delivery fees on your first order of $50 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. John Goyens from TSN 690. You can catch him on the Canadiens and Rocket broadcast. You can find him on Twitter at Gourmet Hockey. And you can find him here every single Monday with the coach's room. John, there are a bunch of reasons why this Colorado team is having so much success. But let's start with the penalty kill. At 100% over this recent run, what are some key elements that have led to this streak?
Yeah, I think we all know working in the media, the feed is usually on a delay. And Frank, you get your feed just seconds before I do because we were both watching the same game. And as you text me, they're 100% on the PK. I hear Eddie Olchuk go, they're 100% on the PK. And it just fueled that. What's that? Sorry.
Since the trade deadline, they're 100% on the
PK. Right. Sorry. And so that led to a deep dive. What is it? Is it just purely the additions of, you know, Duhaime, Trenin, guys like that, Sean Walker? Is it purely personnel? What is leading to it? I think what has been very, very evident for quite some time in Colorado is skating is a major, major element of how they're building their team. And they added guys that can skate at all levels. Doesn't matter if you're playing on the fourth line, doesn't matter if you're playing on a third line pair, if you're a big points player or not. But the big thing is the fact that they do not have to dive into the well of their top end guys to play on the PK between McKinnon, Drouin, even Colton. Nichushkin is the only guy in the top six that regularly plays on the PK. Here's that list. Middlestad, they average 0 to 6 seconds of shorthanded time on ice per game played, which means what? When the chips are down and you got to roll, you maybe got to double shift them for a bit, give them extra power play time, all that stuff. They have fuel in the tank because they're not being taxed on the PK. The other part is if they do come out for those last 4, 5, 6 seconds, they're on fire and the power play on the other side is probably fatigued and they're going to jump all over you. So why don't we get into a little bit of the video? Because skating being a major asset leads to great work in whether it be in the D zone, like we're going to see here, simplicity and poise off a faceoff. Lately, they're winning way more PK faceoffs and they're clearing at a higher rate than most teams. The other part, they are in the top of the league in the last 7 games at denying passes to the slot. They could jump you. You could see the anticipation. 3 jumping options, great sticks, little chips, and this leads to an on-man rush. They don't just anticipate well with sticks. That hits the post. They anticipate well with their feet. But the moment one guy goes, they all go. But they do not stray away from the high-scoring area. They deny with simplicity. They deny with smarts. And when they can jump, they jump with 3-point pressure, as you see here. And it's up and out and almost leads to a breakaway for Lehkonen. They are relentless in their support. And again, simplicity. Why go cover someone that's away from the slot when you could just stand there and teams are going to force bad passes right on your tape? And when you can press, shrink the zone. You don't have to clear 200 feet. Just pop it to a space where Cogliano, still at his age, can jump to free space and clear those pucks.
So to me, it's not just the skating. It's that in that bottom six, there's also a lot of size as well that stands out. And so you talked about their ability to deny passes to the slot. What are they doing against entries on the power play that have also set them up for success on the penalty?
Well, you set the table for the answer, right? The size. We've already addressed skating, and it's the 3 S's, sticks. Right. And I'll even add a 4th S, support. They start in a 1-3 stand and they fall back. If you want to create these drops on the power play breakout, they will fall back into what is like a 3-1 stand, but it's size, skating, support, and sticks. And the bigger the guys are, the longer the sticks are, and they are disrupting clean entries and clean jumps, you know, including we're going to see an example in Edmonton. So let's roll the entry clips against and see how good of a job. Here's your 3-1 stand. Even when a guy gets clipped a little bit, he's back on his feet. And you see Duhaime, he's going to deny the drop pass. So what are you doing? You're forcing the puck out of their hands, and they're first to the puck twice on a loose puck. Once Makar, then the next time on the weak side of forward. Here again, they drop into that 3-1 stand. Look at the reach. Look at the support. You got to go through this wall. So if you overhandle, if you want to think you're going to possess and beat these guys, you're shit out of luck. And if you dump it, you have a great skating D on the back end. That's probably going to be first to the puck as well. So they're executing very consistently. But again, you see them just take away time and space. And when a guy like Devon Taves can close you, it means now here comes that 3-point pressure. Walker gets to the puck, and that's going to be up and out. And they can readjust speed and tempo. But again, it's these read. Nikushkin, he's actually going to deny the drop. Now they're going to outnumber them. What are they going to do? You have to rim it. There's Duhaime. Boom. Win races out of the zone. And they do it consistently well.
The Avs also lead the league in comeback wins. And I mean, we saw yesterday down 4 rip, and it's just like, they shrug, play a solid 20, 25 minutes, and boom, they come win the game. What feeds into that? What allows them to just chip away and create so much momentum?
Well, I think part of it again is that your top dogs aren't taxed on the PK, right? So they got fuel in the tank. And right now, with the additions of Trennan and guys like that, Duhaime, that are doing a phenomenal job on the PK. They obviously are. They're 100%. I think there's an element of lately, especially, they are near the bottom of the league in penalties taken per game played since the trade deadline. They have trimmed that down by a full penalty per game. They were at 3.28 prior to the trade deadline. Now they are 2.29 PKs per game. So that is less taxing. But it's the fact that bottom group can chip in offensively. And the clips that I pulled out for the comeback are both from Vancouver and Pittsburgh, where they were down 3-0 and 4-0. Why? Because three of those goals out of those 9 were scored from bottom 6 guys or a third pair D. And when you present PK, you got to end with some sexiness. And that's why we're going to go with some excitement and comeback hockey here by Colorado. And again, they're skating, they're fast, they're quick to the pucks. You got guys like Rantanen, the Moose. He parks his butt in front of the net. Here's the fourth line, third line guys. Here's Sean Walker ripping pucks. You got guys like Parise at the net. Again, you got third, fourth line type guys. Here's Duhaime getting his first goal for the Pittsburgh Penguins, making it 4-2 with under 30 seconds left. You don't think that fuels that group going into intermission? Absolutely. And when in doubt, the PP, when you've got the elite talent that Colorado has, rip some one tees. But watch here. You're trying to come back. It's early in the period. 27, Drouin, out of sight, out of mind. He creates his lane. And this looks like vintage 29 and 27 for the Halifax Mooseheads. But now they're both playing for the Colorado Avalanche. And you wonder, can that Memorial Cup magic be directed towards some Stanley Cup magic? Again, here's Ross Colton on his belly, tapping it in. Third line, fourth line guys. That helps alleviate some of that offensive pressure from the top dogs so that they could create another east-west play. This time it's Drouin to MacKinnon. And the passion and the sound and the atmosphere, every time they score in Colorado, you would think it was a power play game. And right here, Chris Letang gives that little bump to Joe. They've trained together in the offseason. I knew right there he pissed off Drew. I knew he pissed him off. And he's like, fine, you want to do that? I'm flying today. See ya. And he just takes off. Remember, Jonathan Drouin won fastest skater at the All-Star Game competition several years back. He's healthy. He's flying. And if anyone's taking advantage of being in the Mile High City, it's Jonathan Drouin.
Okay, quickly. To me, it's amazing, John, that this Avs team has changed out 30% of their forward core in the last 6 weeks. That's an incredible adjustment. But when you mentioned the idea of not taxing your superstars when it comes to the penalty kill, if you were coaching the Avs in the Stanley Cup playoffs, would you divert from that strategy depending on the situation to potentially present more of a threat when it comes to scoring on the PK? Or would you stick with this idea and try and, you know, have this Avs team stay consistent with the units that they're running?
The only time I would reconsider that is if for whatever reason you fall into penalty trouble and all of a sudden your top dogs are rotting on the bench. That's the only time I would kind of reconsider those moments. And the fact that you got a guy like MacKinnon, who's a right-handed centerman, and you mostly have left-handed centermen up and down your lineup. So that's where the only change might happen, or I might deploy those top six guys a little earlier. So with maybe 30 seconds left, 35 seconds left, catch them on a change. They don't expect MacKinnon to jump on the ice. And all of a sudden you're creating that odd man rush and a scoring chance.
There you go. Fantastic insight as always, John. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Moving along to our daily face-off inbox question, hashtag AskDFO, and it's brought to you by Roll Up the Rim, back and better than ever for Tim's 60th anniversary. Play today on the Tim Hortons app. Frank, we got one in from Neil, who wants to know if you think any other players will be able to hit the 50-goal milestone this year. You got Pasternak and MacKinnon at 44, Panarin at 43, Point and Kucherov at 41. Think any of them of late season surge?
Yeah, I mean, MacKinnon, he's got 11 games to get 6 goals. That feels like a pretty good shot. I'd say Pasternak, he's got 10 games to get 6. I think both those guys get there. I know Panarin has a little bit more runway left with 11 games, but this has been an absolutely magical career season for Artemi Panarin, also scoring at a rate that he's not used to. And I know every hiccup, everyone's holding their breath. And it's not great, I'll tell you that. But I'm going to say two guys get there, MacKinnon and Pasternak.
I also wonder, I mean, JT Miller's 10th in league scoring with 90 points. I wonder if we don't get potentially 10 100-point scorers if a few stars can get hot down the stretch. Let's move along to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year for best sportsbook operator. Here's my parlay for tonight. Kevin Hayes over a shot and a half. Philippe Deneau over a shot and a half. Hayes has hit this in 6 straight with 3 or more in 5 of them, so he's been crushing it on a lot of nights. For Deneau, he hit it in 6 straight but missed it last game. So I like Deneau in a bounce back, Hayes to keep the heat rolling, and it's a very juicy plus 181 over on Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Wrapping up the show quickly with Garbage Time, Frank, it's brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. And hey, our boy Gavin has won it in 2 of the last 3 weeks. So our producer is red hot. Maybe he should be the one making the picks. And I guess the only thing sweeter than the taste of victory for Gavin would be if he could start his day with the new Cinnabon pull-apart from Wendy's. Order today at Wendy's or on the Wendy's app. Tonight, Frank, small slate, but we're kicking off the week here. What do you like?
I'm going with the Canucks at home against the Kings. Canucks straight up win.
I'm closing my eyes and throwing a dart because why not? I suck when I try my hardest. Vancouver over 18 and a half block shots is my pick. Our garbage time for today, Frank, we're speculating on reasons why maybe Ovi has turned it around. How about this video from him scoring the other day in Washington and then spotting his son in the crowd as he turns around? And you even see TJ Oshie getting all fired up and banging the glass as well. A pretty cool moment as Washington's season is right back on track.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the goal that he thefted off of McMichael's stick or not, but that one was pretty awesome too. And I love his reaction with Oshie on the bench. Like, they were like, that one was a little bit suspect, but maybe it was the force from Ovechkin that helped propel it into the net.
There you go. Big shout out to Wendy's, Betano, and DoorDash, and Tim Hortons with Roll Up the Rim. That's a wrap on a Monday edition of the show. We'll be right back here on the Daily Faceoff YouTube tomorrow at noon Eastern. Chat with you then.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. And let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount. And that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first. And you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.